For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. And the record is what it is, 2-6, tough loss. And so it becomes like a 9-game season, right? You just look at these 9 games and probably see what happens. But, you know, it's going to dictate futures.
Well, I think that you can kind of get lost and when you overwhelmed when you start thinking about, you know, 9 games. I think for us, and this is true, winning or losing, you got to worry about this week. And, you know, it's a cliche, but it's just true. We got to worry about handling our business this week and then the next week and the next week and all the rest of it takes care of itself.
And football, not like every sport, but you can do 7 of 10 things pretty well. And, you know, you can look at that stat book from the Charger game, and it's evenly matched in a lot of places. But the explosive plays, which has played, you know, this is not the first time we've had this question, but the explosive plays are really have been such damaging and negative impactful.
Yeah. Look, I think, I always do this. You watch these games and you try to look at them through a lens of independence. Let's call it that. There were some good things in the game that we did better than we had done the previous weeks. And yet there was a couple things that were, you know, similar and giving up a couple of explosive plays was one of them. I think penalties really hurt us on offense. We moved the ball and then crossed the 50, get into, you know, a scoring opportunity and boom, we get a penalty. And next thing you know, it's 2nd and 15 or 2nd and 19, third and 15. And look, we don't have enough of a margin for error offensively right now to compensate for that. And that hurt us. I think this too. I think we had some missed opportunities relative to defense. And let's give credit where credit's due here. The quarterback made some big time plays. That's what Devin, safety, and I don't know how he got that ball away right on the numbers. They didn't catch it, and we got off the field. But getting off the field isn't the same as getting a safety or a sack fumble in that circumstance. And we had an opportunity to do that. And there was a couple of other, you know, opportunities for big plays that we didn't make. And we just currently don't have that kind of margin for error, you know, with the younger players that we're playing with.
Got Taysom Hill back, Cesar Ruiz, and some others, but you could really feel the impact of getting a Taysom back and Cesar. But Spencer and Jake held the reins, and now what of an kind of an impact? And Dennis said that they do expect Derek to be practicing Wednesday, so getting Carr back is a pretty significant cog in this machine.
Yeah, that's huge when you have a veteran quarterback that has played well for us versus young rookies and look, I'm really bullish on Spencer and Jake both. I think they did some really good things, but you know, they're rookie players that are going to have things got to. They don't have to be perfect, but things have to kind of fit into place for them. Whereas, you know, a veteran quarterback can solve some problems that occur on the fly that more readily than a rookie player can do.
Talked last night with Coach Allen. Bobby talked about, you know, hey, where are the next stars coming from? Who's going to be the next Cam Jordan, the next DeMario Davis? And maybe it's, you know, too soon on for some, but where do they come from?
Yeah. I heard that. It's a good question. I think though that we have to make sure that we understand the history of Cam and DeMario, because those are the two players he cited. You know, if you look at Cam's career, you know, he came to us in 2011, and the first 4 years of his career, cumulative, he had 118 tackles, and he had 29 sacks after 4 years. He actually made the Pro Bowl at the end of his third year, one time. The next 4 years, actually years 7, 8, 9, and 10, he had 160 tackles compared to 118 tackles. He had 48 sacks in those 4 years compared to 29 sacks. He made the Pro Bowl four times. He was All Pro three times, All NFL a number of times. So what I would say is that in his first 4 years, he was considered a good pro, good player. It was those years that he became and was recognized as a great player. And if you look at DeMario's career, you'd see exactly the same thing. You know, his first 4 years, he had seven sacks. He had 332 tackles. He had one interception. He had eight passes defense. Good, it was good player, solid. Didn't have any honors during that time. In years 7, 8, 9, and 10, he had 18 sacks compared to seven. He had 475 tackles compared to 332 tackles. He had the same number of interceptions, one, but he had 24 passes defense compared to eight, and made All Pro first team twice in years 9 and 10 for him. So I would say the same thing. He went from being a good player, recognized as a good player in his first 4 years, to becoming a great player in years 7 through 10. So, you know, the expectation that we're going to have these guys come in here in years 1, 2, and 3 and be great players is probably, for the most part, a little unrealistic. Now, we've got a ton of players that are 4 years or less that I think can get to that level in their next 4 or 5 years. You know, Paulson Adebo and Brian Breezy and Tali Fuaga and, you know, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Chris Olave is on that path. You know, we're high on Spencer Rattler, both these quarterbacks, like I told you, Cesar Ruiz, Rashid Shaheed, Alante Taylor, Pete Werner, Chase Young. So there's lots of guys that are candidates to become those type of players. Will they all do that? No. You know, that would be unrealistic to expect that. But certainly we have a lot of guys, and there's others as well, that have that opportunity.
We'll have more with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis, as the Saints have back-to-back in the NFC South. First Carolina, then the Atlanta Falcons will be at Caesars Superdome on November 10th. Back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are talking with Saints Executive Vice President and General Manager Mickey Loomis. Have you seen enough change of late? I'm talking about during the losing streak, because, you know, it's you know, if you kind of don't make some changes and kind of expect different results, right? So you've seen enough change through this, you know, and obviously a lot of it was getting players back, you know, from that standpoint.
Well, you know, I think, look, yeah, you have to, whenever you have results that don't match your expectations, you have to look at the underlying reasons why, right? And look, we have answers for lots of things. We have answers when we have, you know, players get hurt. We have answers when you know, you lose your quarterback for a couple games. I don't know that I have answers when you have an avalanche of injuries and you lose your quarterback for that period of time. It's just, that's just difficult. And we haven't been able to overcome that. We've played some good teams too, as well. So we're getting some players back. That's a good sign. I think our players have played really hard. I think they're accountable. I don't see a lack of effort. I don't see a lack of want to. I don't see a lack of accountability. And I think we all recognize that, look, in the circumstance, we have to coach better. We have to play better. We have to do our jobs better in terms of the front office, the training room, the strength and conditioning room. We have to buckle up and we have to, do better. And that's not anything. I'm not talking about this specifically, but there are specific things inside our building that we're doing to try to overcome this losing streak.
Don't know at this point, because Andy Dalton's got an injured hand, whether it'll be Andy or Bryce, and maybe in 2 weeks, it looks like it'll be Jameis Winston. So you got your former quarterbacks. And I remember last year in the Monday night game at Carolina, Andy Dalton would stand next to the defensive coordinator when your offense was on the field. But yet now it's such a different offense. I can't imagine they would have the impact of knowing what they know of this team than maybe a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that in that, Andy had been part of the system that we ran last year and we have a different system this year. So that's probably true. I also think, that impact is a little bit overrated. Because we have players that, everybody has players from other teams, and you get some information about personnel, about the way they like to do things. But I think oftentimes that's overrated.
A little later in the show, we're having Mason Tipton on. He's another undrafted free agent. I know you guys loved his speed, but he's been impactful, right? I mean, he's had 22 targets, 14 receptions, just shy of 100 yards. But I think he's only had one game where he didn't have a target. So just kind of your assessment of him coming out of Yale.
Yeah, look, he's undrafted free agent. Out of Yale, we loved what he did during training camp. He made the team. Listen, based upon his performance in training camp, he's a really smart player. You said it; he's fast. He can do a lot of things. And yet, we've had to throw him in the fire here because of injuries sooner than we would like to. And so there's a little bit of learning on the fly. Everything's a new experience for him. And there's some growing pains with that. But look, I like this guy. We all like this guy as a prospect and love a lot of things that he's been doing and see a bright future for him.
Next Tuesday, election day, also the trade deadline day, just from a process standpoint, I imagine you're going to get calls from every team just to take your temperature, right? What's the process like between now and November 5th?
Yeah, look, it's exactly what you just said. You get a lot of contact from other GMs, other personnel people, just, taking temperatures as to, hey, do you have anybody that you're trying to move? And look, I think, when you're in a losing streak, you're calling those teams looking to see if they're sellers, right? And so we'll get a number of calls and we'll respond accordingly. I'm not really one who thinks that trading away half your roster makes a lot of sense at this point for generally what I think are undervalued offers.
That's kind of the difference. It is kind of, it's so much different. They're looking for deals, right? And so it's too early to say whether you would say just that you'd be a buyer or a seller, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying neither really.
Right.
We're going to do what we think is best for our team for right now and going forward. And so look, I would never say never about trading somebody, but I think generally at this time of year, the offers don't necessarily match the talent that you're giving up.
And we all have bosses. I have a lot here in this building, a lot in the radio station as well. What has been, we have, Mrs. Benson, which I know she's, wants the team to win just as bad as anybody else, but how is Mrs. Benson taking this?
Yeah, look, Mrs. Benson is awesome as an owner. She really is. And I think the perception sometimes is that she's not involved. Well, she is. I speak with her almost every day. She's obviously concerned about this losing streak and how it's affecting not just the people in the building, but how it affects our fans And look, she feels bad about that. And she wants to know, how are we working towards a solution? And so, we talk about that on a daily basis. Look, she's fantastic as an owner. She is in the locker room after the game, win or lose. And so these last 6 weeks have been tough. And yet she's there every week and concerned. It makes all of us, we want to do right by her. And so it makes all of us even more conscientious and more determined about flipping this thing around.
Well, it can begin Sunday in Carolina and Charlotte against the Panthers, the 1-7 Panthers. And so big week one victory over them. See what happens with them this week as far as quarterback goes. Best of luck, Mickey. Get it back on track Sunday in Carolina. Thanks for your time.
Yep. Thank you, Mike.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.